get right to it. There's a lot to report, a lot to discuss this hour. The headlines are right there at rents.com for you. You'll see them. There are 19,878 cases. Those are the admitted numbers in China. It certainly rounds off nicely to 20,000. 7,700 confirmed. 12,167 suspect. Also confirmed with one test. Remember, China requires two tests. So we have basically 20,000 cases. Dr. Henry Nyman is back with us tonight. Henry, things are moving quickly. A record 42 patients died in one day in Hubei. That's a lot.
Right. And just to clarify, you're reading yesterday's numbers, not today's. There aren't 7,711. There's 9,692 confirmed, and there's not 12,167 suspects. There's 15,238. So it's 25,000, not 20. It's 5,000 higher than was yesterday.
Send me the updated numbers. I knew I sent something in with the daily news posting. I must have got the wrong story.
It usually comes out around 8-9 o'clock. So I sent it around 8-9 o'clock tonight, and
I'll find it. All right, go ahead.
You got one earlier, but that's how much it's increased, and it's kind of 5,000 in one day.
And that's the reported number. And, remember that, right?
And the whole SARS outbreak was about 8,000 in 6 months. So it's almost equivalent to the entire SARS outbreak in a 24-hour period. And right. it's increasing exponentially. So within a couple of days, it'll be up 8,000 a day. Right now it's up 5,000 a day. And that kind of gives you an idea why some are saying that SARS was worse than this. They're just in la la land,
I can't imagine anyone with a brain saying that if they simply look at the statistics. It's beyond me. But
WHO came out and said it's got a case fatality rate of 2%. So SARS was 10%. So it isn't that bad. It's like getting a cold. So it's ludicrous. But in any event, they did declare a fake. So they were, a few days or a week late, probably. And then the U.S. Issued a travel warning that nobody should go to China. And they issued that tonight. And it's a complete ban. I sent that to you too. I don't know if you saw that. It was very explicit.
I've got it. It'll go up a little later. I've got it.
Okay. And it warrants it. That don't go there. You can get stuck there. And that they're going to stop, transportation, and there's no guarantee you're going to be able to get out. And
that's right.
They made a pretty strong statement. And I think that was in association with the fake. The fake kind of, gave the green light that this is really something to be serious about. But it's orders of magnitude higher than anything that's happened recently. And this is certainly not the only thing they've issued a fake for. Now, one of the developments today kind of took me off checking out all of the activity, and that was the CDC called a teleconference, I guess it was 12:30, and announced the sixth case confirmed in the United States. And this was the husband of the case in Chicago. So that was the first cluster in the U.S., and it's a husband and wife, but they issued a press release on it in part because the husband didn't go to China. The wife went to China. She got infected. She came back to Chicago, and then she infected her husband in Chicago. So when that happens, it's usually pretty conclusive that it's, H2H. That,
of course. How else could it come on? Of course, yes.
Well, it could be on her shoes or something. But, yeah, it's pretty conclusive. And and I actually wrote that this was the Chicago cluster. And somebody said I was being alarmist because there was only two people and I was calling that a cluster.
Who said? Oh, well, that's ridiculous. A cluster is a cluster. Come on.
A physician. Well, this not only was a cluster in the sense that it's two or more, but it was a demonstrated human-to-human cluster. It wasn't just a cluster that two people were kind of in the same area and together, right. And you know, there might be a relationship, and there's probably a relationship, but what that relationship isn't that clear. This is the relationship is clear. And, so I thought back to a few things about this cluster, and this isn't just the first cluster in the United States. This, in fact, is the only cluster from a coronavirus in the United States. SARS produced zero clusters in the United States. All of the cases in the U.S. were mild, and they didn't have enough virus to even get a sequence. So the number of sequences from the SARS outbreak from U.S. Patients is zero. And
well, what does that mean? Does that mean there were a couple of strains of the SARS virus running around, and we happen to get the lesser of those two or three?
It probably had to do with super spreaders and viral loads, and the people that came here were not very sick and didn't have very much virus, and therefore none of their contacts got infected, and they were not seriously ill. And because the viral load was low, they weren't able to get something that they could sequence, much less isolate. So there were no viruses isolated from any U.S. Patients. And there wasn't even enough RNA in the patient to be able to sequence the virus. And that's, you know, in dramatic contrast to what's happening now. There's not only enough virus to sequence, there's enough virus to basically get a sequence within a couple of days. Uh-huh. And there's now 50 sequences that are at GSAD that from this outbreak from labs around the world. And, you know, that's a very large number, especially they've come from multiple countries. The most recent outbreak actually is in France that has a sequence. And the exact relationship of that cluster is a little bit unclear. The sequences that were put on deposit are from a 41-year-old female and a 42-year-old male. And they haven't really guided people that age. I'm pretty positive it's the first case and the first case's contact, but I didn't get a whole lot of detail on them. There is now six cases in France, and there's a 50-year-old woman, and I think her father is like 80 years old, and then there's physician treating the 50-year-old woman, and he has now been confirmed, so that's gone to a healthcare worker. They've got a total of six now. In France, there was one that wasn't in Paris. I think that these, all five of these, I know the two, the sequences is out, are from Paris. And I think the other three that I just mentioned, the father, the daughter, and the physician treating the daughter are all in Paris. So if they are all in Paris, then they all are likely from the two sequences that were released. They're not the same lineage as was in the U.S. or in Chicago. And the other thing that stands out about the Chicago, I mean, it out of the 50 sequences that were that have been deposited, if I were going to pick one, it would have been the Chicago sequence that would cause problems. And one reason is because it was a mixture. So when there's a mixture, when you sequence it, where the mutations are, and it's not the consensus sequence, so it's not the position, it's just the same in everybody, because if you got two viruses and these are the common positions, then they both are the same, and there's no indication that there's a mixture. But then when you go to where the mutations are, usually the mutations don't overlap, and so each mutation is going to give a kind of a half signal. So it'll have the normal letter there and then the mutated letter. And since they're both the same position, they'll kind of get a peak within a peak type of a thing. So at that position, you'll get a mixed signal, and maybe even got letters that stand for all the different combinations. So if there's a combination, if it's T or T, then a Y is used, and if it's I think a T and T, an S is used, and so you can tell whether there's a mixed signal in the sequence just by what letters are being used for each position.
I see.
And out of the 50 sequences that are at GeneBank, and remember, each of these sequences has like 30,000 letters. So it's a lot of letters.
50, now, when you say there are 50 sequences at GeneBank, 50 different sequences. Go ahead.
50 different sequences from this outbreak.
Right.
And out of the 50, one has mixed signals, and that's the one in Chicago. So that alone is an indication that that's going to be a problem, because that means that somebody got infected by two viruses sometime in the past, and they recombined, and now you got a new virus. It's got a little bit of one, a little bit of the other. This means that person actually has two viruses, two different viruses, and they're giving a mixed signal, signaling that there's two different signals coming for the positions where the mutations are. And so that, and you can see it sometimes. Sometimes you see it in flu when it's a bad flu season. Sometimes you see it in avian influenza when, you know, there's a lot of birds at the same location when they're migrating and are nesting, and there's a lot of virus going around, and you end up getting that type of dual infection, and you get that signal when you screen the sample, especially when you're sequencing directly from the sample, not growing something up.
Right.
So that indicates that this person has two viruses, and that means two different two people infected, or one person that had gotten infected by two viruses also and passed on the two to this person in Chicago. So that was an indication that there's probably a fairly high viral load involved, and the potential her husband will have a mixed infection, that he will get infected by both of the viruses that are in his wife.
What's your read on the two types of virus, the variants? Which one is worse? Does it appear stable in a worse, because it's sending mixed signals? Is it unstable? Is it going to remain unstable? What do we got here? Two different stable viruses?
We've got an evolving genome that's becoming more dangerous,
it's learning its way around the block.
It's emerging and becoming dominant, and that's what the concern is. The concern is that you start out with, you know, sequences that are fairly similar, and they have a little change here and a little change there. Uh-huh. And those changes don't make a big difference, so you end up with a lot of different variants out there. So you really don't know what you're going to get from one to the next, because they've all changed a little bit. those changes aren't having that big of effect, so they're kind of spread out, and you got a lot of different versions with one or two changes. But then if those changes give that virus an advantage, and in this case gives it an advantage in humans, because that's where the virus is circulating, then that will be more likely to infect another person, and it'll become more common.
And remember what Henry said, survival of the fittest, that works for viruses too. That's what he's talking about right now.
Right, that's how they evolve, yeah. So the ones that do a better job of replicating, they're in competition, they end up beating out the ones that are a little bit slow on replicating, and they get to the person first, and then the person gets immunity, and then it's not really a host for the next virus that comes along. So it's kind of a race to
let me, as many as they can. If I'm going to turn this a little bit different direction for a few minutes. There are some very interesting stories today. One of them has to do with a big cruise liner.
It's negative.
All right. I wanted to ask you if that had been a resolution of that. So that was a negative.
Yeah.
There was a whole shipload of 7,000 people that were worried.
Yeah, and it's cruise season. So all you got is somebody there.
Has the flu.
From China, and they got the flu. There must be, you know,
got it.
A coronavirus.
Right. That's what we're here for, to straighten these things out. The other thing is very concerning, and I've seen several stories about it. The people writing the stories are not doing their research. However, the basic fact of the matter seems to be that younger people and children do a little bit better with this than the older people do. The older people seem to be, not a surprise, they're more vulnerable. But you got this 10-year-old kid in China. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to just tell everyone what the deal is. He had a family of five or six people. They all became infected, but this kid, no signs, no symptoms. Apparently, he was normal, totally healthy. The only way they could determine and prove conclusively, according to what I've read, is a CAT scan was taken of his lungs, and down on the bottom of his lung, one of them or both of them, they found the coronavirus. His other family members, cluster, all had the same virus. He didn't show it. So what do we got here? We have a stealth carrier shedding viruses who doesn't readily and easily show symptoms. A young child. Now, do we have that kind of a problem in other areas? I don't know. But that really bothered me. No symptoms whatsoever. Now, adults are showing no symptoms, and they're infectious. But this child, apparently they had to run a CAT scan on him to prove he was infected.
Right. His parents insisted that he get the CAT scan because he was negative, and he was
PCR negative.
Asymptomatic. And the doctor said, he doesn't have the virus. You had the virus, but he didn't get the virus. If he had the virus, he would have symptoms. And, the CAT scan's just going to be normal. And they insisted, and they did the CAT scan, and the CAT scan showed evidence of damage to the lungs due to the virus, and whether there was
damage
still virus
already.
There.
Damage. I want to underscore that word. Yeah. The lung damage. All right. The virus damages
the
lung.
They didn't do electron microscope. They couldn't see the virus. They could see the damage that was done to the lungs by the virus, and that's what they could pick up. That there were. There had or was a viral infection. Now, that child is part of this cluster in Shenzhen. And Shenzhen is in Guangdong province. And Guangdong province is behind Hubei. There's only one other province that has more than Guangdong province. That's Zhejiang province. Province up by Shanghai. So this is the number three province as far as confirmed cases. Right. There's like 345 now. But just last, maybe as a week and a half ago, I had, they had deposited sequences from two clusters. One of the clusters was in Shenzhen. And that cluster got my attention because it had three mutations, one of which is in this ORF8 gene. So that's
right.
ORF is for open reading frame. And this is the same gene that was affected in the SARS outbreak. And so this had a mutation in that gene, then it had a mutation upstream and a mutation downstream in two different genes.
Is this a remarkable coincidence? If it happened with SARS and now it happens with this one, there's a lot of potential here.
I know there's a lot of potential. The issue is whether mutations that affect the function of this open reading frame give the virus an advantage so that it does better. I mean, one of the things that this open reading frame does is it's a target of interferon. Interferon is kind of an antiviral that people have to fight off viruses. And the mutation in it or deletion in it can affect that, so the interferon isn't induced by having this virus. Interferons are called interferons because they interfere with viruses. And so if the interferon isn't triggered by this virus, and the virus is able to survive longer. And so that could be one mechanism that a mutation in this particular gene gives rise to the virus being able to compete better against the other viruses when it comes to infecting and passing on its genetic information in human carriers. So the fact that there's a mutation in the same gene and could conceivably have the same effect if it makes it possible for the virus to grow more easily in the host. And the reason there's concern for this is because this family had it, and this was a relatively large cluster, and they had got the virus because they had visited relatives in Wuhan, and they were a reasonably large cluster. So the cluster in Wuhan, the virus that caused the cluster in Wuhan went to Shenzhen. And in Shenzhen, there was another cluster, and this was a lot like what happened in Chicago, that the family went to Wuhan, and most of them got infected. But then they came back to Shenzhen, and one of the family members there that didn't go to Wuhan got infected by the returning members. And so that was another example that it was definitely human to human, because one of the people that never went to Wuhan was infected. And it was the same thing in Chicago. The husband's never been to China, or at least not recently. And, that was evidence that it was human to human.
Here's another important one I got to get your take on. I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's so much here.
Okay.
By the way, for all of you listening, Henry spends all day looking at these sequences, poring over them, studying. He's already a genius in the field, but he's on this, on it. And when you see these conspiracy people on the Internet, and if we know there are conspiracies on the planet, okay, but when something like this pops up, it seems to be open season for everybody to cobble together some weird, off-the-wall conspiracy and start throwing it out with their green screens behind them. So just be careful. You want to know, Henry's the man. 200 approximately people, Japanese, were airlifted out of Wuhan. I assume they were tested before they were put on the plane, flown back to Japan. When the plane lands, as you know, Henry, three tested positive. Three were sick. That suggests that others in the plane.
Hold on. Tell me more.
This is what I read. Tell me more. What's the truth?
Two were asymptomatic. Three were positive. So two of them that came back were tested when they came back, and they were positive, but they were asymptomatic on the flight.
Oh,
so that's another example of people that are bringing the virus here And even though they were definitely concerned about these were people they were bringing back to Japan to get them out of Wuhan. And when they arrived, they double-checked them to make sure none of them were infected. They found out that three were infected, but only one of the three actually had symptoms. Two of them were asymptomatic. So,
all right, what do you do with the 197 other people? Do you quarantine them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks? You don't let them loose.
Yeah,
they were on that damn airplane.
Right. They would probably sometimes they home quarantine them. It kind of depends. I don't know. Different countries are doing different things. And that's what happened in Toronto. In Toronto, it was another husband and wife, and the husband was positive, and he went in the hospital. The wife had no symptoms, and they just had her home quarantine. And then she developed symptoms, and she's positive, and they got a cluster, too. And so Toronto's got two positives, so it's Chicago. The reason Chicago's concerning is because you can get an idea how bad the virus is by what's associated with the virus. And like I said, this was a cluster that was in Shenzhen. It was concerning enough that it was written up in Lancet. The Lancet went and wrote a story on human-to-human transmission, said that this was a good example of it because one of the family members did not go to Wuhan, stayed in Shenzhen, and ended up getting infected. And so there were three sequences that were at GeneBank, and they all had the same sequence, and they all had this change in ORF8, and then one additional change upstream and one additional change downstream.
Right.
And so I was interested in whether ORF8 was starting to become more common, this particular mutation. And then the first sequence was released in the U.S., and that was at Washington State at Seattle-Tacoma Airport. And that person's sequence was released, and that sequence had two mutations, not three, but two of them were ORF8 and the one upstream. So both of the mutations in Washington were in the Shenzhen cluster. And then they released a sequence of, then there was the case that we're talking about, the index case, was positive in at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. Well, I don't actually know if it was at the airport, but anyway, it was in Chicago. And they released that sequence. And that's the sequence of the index case for this cluster. And that sequence actually had six mutations. And of those six mutations, two were the same mutation that was in Washington State. It had the ORF8, and it had the upstream mutation. Then it had three other mutations between those two. And then it had one mutation downstream. And so I started to look at these other mutations to figure out where they came from. And as it turned out, after Chicago was the two cases in California. They were both in Southern California. One was in Orange County and the other was in L.A. County. And those sequences were released. And the sequence from L.A. County had the two that were in the two prior sequences, that they had the two that were in Washington State and the two that were among the group Chicago. But they had the same three mutations that were in between. So they matched Chicago at five mutations. And that kind of raised some additional concern. So these additional mutations weren't just kind of random kind of mutations that didn't have anything to do with anything. They ended up being also in the LA case. And then came the fifth positive, which was in Phoenix. And that sequence actually had all three of the mutations that were in Shenzhen. And it had, I think, one additional one. And then I looked at the one that hadn't paired up yet in Chicago, and that, in fact, matched two different viruses that were also in China or also in Guangdong province. One was also in Shenzhen, and the other one was in Foshan, which is another reasonably sized city in Guangdong province, but not that close to Shenzhen. So the sequences, the mutations that were in Chicago are found in other viruses from China, actually from Guangdong province. And in fact, they can all be found in Shenzhen. Now, Shenzhen's a problem because there are a lot of clusters. In fact, they're in the TMTC category, which is too many to count. And so they don't even tell you how many clusters are in Shenzhen now. But back when I first was looking at these, they had six clusters involving 17 people. And at the time, there were only 32 people reported. So more than half of the people that were reported in Shenzhen were known clusters. And so now Shenzhen has about 100 cases. And Guangdong province is got, last time I looked, was 345. That was yesterday. It's probably, it'll update in a few hours, and it'll probably be over 400. And these are confirmed, and there's probably one and a half to two times as many suspects. So if
are the Chinese sitting on any of these numbers to any extent? Are they? There's a lot of reports now that journalists over there said that he absolutely is certain that they are not fully disclosing. I understand why they wouldn't. I wouldn't,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, you can go through the numbers and go through the calculations. That's what was done early on. Early on, where there are only two exports, and I think they adjusted for three exports. So there were only three people that were identified outside of China. And then based upon how many flights went to those cities and how many people are in the Wuhan area, and so what the odds of picking one up was, and then if you got three of them, you have to kind of multiply, that's how many people you would need to have in Wuhan to come up with three positives that were being exported. And that was a while ago, and I think that they came up with a couple thousand people to produce three exports. But now there's been exports to 20 countries, and I think the number is closer to 200. So, you know, if it's 100 times what it was before, and they figured it was, you know, ballpark 2,000, well, then that would be 200,000. So, you know, that type of calculation would suggest that it's in that ballpark. But
right. Here's another important angle that people want to know about. These genetic mutations that you're finding don't necessarily originate from the same exposure venue. They're turning up. They don't all come from Shenzhen, all right? And there's, you're finding them here and there. The virus seems to be mutating along similar lines, even though there's no common lineage back to the original venue.
Well, they're being selected. So these changes that are showing up, if you go back to original bat sequences, you can find them. And it would indicate that there's a mixture and that you've got some other species that are minor species initially, and you're initially seeing the major species. And then as it recombines with the minor sequences, and the minor sequences give it an advantage because it's now in a human host instead of a bat host,
right?
Then those start to become more dominant. That's what I'm saying. All of these cases in the U.S., you know, ultimately trace back to Wuhan, either directly or indirectly. So some of them trace back to changes that are in Guangdong province or Shenzhen, right, that city in Guangdong province. And then if you look at those people, well, they had got it from Wuhan. So it would trace back to Wuhan. But if you look at the original sequences in Wuhan, they're not there. Well, they probably are there, but you don't see them because they're a minor population. So they're kind of below the radar. So when you do a sequence, you get the main sequence. And if it's a big ratio, you see the mixed signals when it's in the ballpark of 50-50. So if you're getting half the signal from one virus and half the signal from the other, then when you look at the signal, you'll see that it's got two peaks there. If it's a 10-to-1 ratio, you're probably not going to see the 10%. You're going to see the 90%, and that's going to be the signal. And you know, if you look real hard, you might see a little hump, but you figure it's a minor. You know, they're not cloned. You're taking it directly from the tissue. So, well, there's some minor stuff under there. But if recombining with that minor species creates a new version that's more efficient, then all of a sudden, those that have recombined and got those advantageous mutations start to be the virus that ends up infecting multiple people.
And then it
becomes dominant. And that's why it's so striking in the U.S. that out of five sequences, four of them are the same lineage, and they all have this change in or fate. And that's what happened with SARS. With SARS, you had a more dramatic mutation. You had a 29 nucleotide deletion in that gene. It basically split it into two genes because you had this big deletion, and it's not a number divisible by three, so it changes the reading frame. So you basically have one that's got the old reading frame, but it's short, and you got the other one that's in a new reading frame. It's also short because the gene wasn't that big to begin with. So you cut it in half, and you got two genes there. But the bottom line is that was at least associated with the ability of that virus to do well in humans. And then you ended up with these super spreaders. And so you had the physician who was treating patients in Guangdong province, and he probably was infected multiple times. So he started out with more than one virus, and those viruses could recombine and create virus that he would have had a high viral load. He was very ill by the time he got to Hong Kong. He went, you know, he didn't fly in there. He kind of, you know, went by bus, I think. And in any event, he was sick by the time he got there. He ended up vomiting and exposing many of the guests to that. And then they all had this mixture of a fairly high viral load with several different viruses thrown in there. And then they flew off to Toronto or Hanoi or Singapore, or one was visiting from Hong Kong. And then that sparked these big increases in the cases that happened. You know, it started at the end of February, and then the cases started to appear in mid-March. In mid-March, it was still a mystery disease. It wasn't clear, but these people had been in China, and now they were in their home country, and they were dying, and healthcare workers were getting infected, and they were dying, and you just had this disease that at the time they didn't even know that it was a coronavirus. They didn't even know it was a virus. They just knew that these people were infectious and they were killing people that were relatively young, that, you know, healthcare workers that were 30, 40 years old.
I remember the pictures. I remember the pictures. They had them all on a page in a Canadian newspaper, like a big checkerboard, and there were a lot of fatalities. 90% plus Asian healthcare workers. Sad. A couple questions from listeners. When the Chinese say that a patient has been released from a hospital or cured, what does that really mean? Does it mean that there's no trace of the virus at all? Or does it mean that there are enough antibodies, by someone's decision, that have been produced and this suppresses the effects of the virus, but the virus is still present and they're going to let him go? What does it mean, and how many have been released from hospital cured? What's our number on that now? Do you know? 100?
I think it's a little above that. The latest, well, yesterday it was 124. I think it's around 160, 170, and the deaths are over 200 now. The deaths are 213. So there's 213 that have died. I think it's about 100 that have been discharged. Discharged means that they don't have any symptoms. They would test them before they're discharged. They don't have any evidence of disease. So the ones that are being discharged, there aren't that many, you know, basically don't get discharged until they essentially don't have the virus. It's not that they've got an antibody that's covering up. Number one, the test is for the RNA. It wouldn't have anything to do with an antibody. They do a PCR test. So they take the sample and they extract the RNA from the sample, and then they put it in with the primers and identify it. So the virus, A, would not have to be viable, and B, the antibody would not even be extracted. They'd just be extracting nucleic acid. So proteins get tossed. They have nothing to do with the assay. The assay's just...
All right. So the patients that are cured and released... They're safe. In other words, they're not going to be reinfected by their own
viral. Most of the patients are in the hospital. They're not released. I mean,
we've talked about this numerous times. They're just not getting out.
There's 25,000 patients, and there's 250 released. So it's not... That's not the issue. The issue is...
Normal flu, you get over it. The people aren't getting over this thing. Right. That's the problem. That's a huge problem.
Right. The issue is these are people that are in the hospital, and they're taxing the medical staff, and, you know, a lot of them are in critical condition or in severe condition. Some are on ECMO machines, and you have to have a skilled technician to manage those patients. And so it's all just backing up. I mean, the healthcare workers are working, like, you know, 7 days on and a day off or something like that. And so they're working these long shifts, and they're bringing in, medical people from the military to help out. But it's growing at these ridiculous rates. I think they're almost done building one new hospital. I think they're building three or four more. But when you kind of go through the numbers, kind of a drop in the bucket. If you got 5,000 new patients every day, you know, those numbers going up.
Bottom line is, virtually no one is being released. Virtually no one. It's such a small percentage. This is unprecedented. The people who are infected, tragically, are not shaking this virus off. That's the biggest part of this thing that is a greatest alarm to me. I'm not seeing people getting over it.
And the spread of the virus is happening to the people, you know, mostly that aren't in the hospital. There are some healthcare workers that are in the hospital, but the virus is circulating, and it's just like, you know, the examples I gave, that people go and visit, you know, family members, and there's not that much now. I mean, there's a lot I don't even know what the latest numbers was, but the last time I looked, it was like 50 million people were under quarantine. So they're kind of sheltering in place, if you will. They're not supposed to be traveling out and about, and they're staying in their cities.
Well, the hospitals are still telling people, if you're sick, stay home. Take care of yourself at home. We can't do anything else here. We're full. That's it.
Yeah, and that's the reason the suspect cases are so high, is that they can't do the confirmatory test. So
they can't monitor them in a hospital venue. No. Here are the numbers. I got them. Here are the numbers.
They have too many.
Too many. They got too many. They can't do it. They don't have the manpower, woman power, people power. They can't do it. Cases in China have jumped to 25,000. 24,930. 25,000. 9,692 confirmed infected. That's with two tests, PCR tests, and 15,000 suspected. Those people are all confirmed with one PCR test. So it's a massive number of people now. 25,000 confirmed infected. That's my definition of it. One test is good enough for me, but the Chinese want two. So there are your numbers.
Well, it's actually WHO. So, I mean, that's what WHO recommends. It's that they require two tests to call it a confirmed case. And, at this level, it's a lot more misleading to just talk about the confirmed cases, which are significantly less than half of the total number of cases that you got a PCR positive.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely correct. Yeah. All right. We got 3 minutes here. They brought this plane load of Americans home, 200 approximately. They were going to land at Ontario Airport and be released to go home. At the last minute, or relatively near the last minute, the plane was diverted to March Air Force Base. They were all put into what was said voluntary quarantine, just to make sure. I don't know what they're doing with those people, but you can bet they're testing them routinely to see. They were all in the plane together. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, they're concerned about this long incubation period. So, the concern is they might be
up to 10 days
negative today, but China says it's 14 days. So, they could have been infected a couple days ago, and on the the long end,
they aren't going to show
symptoms for another week and a half, and so that's probably what's going on there, is they want to make sure that 10 days from now they still test negative. And, the example in the plane from Japan is a good example. There were, people that were asymptomatic and tested positive, and there's probably more on that plane that in a day or two they'll test positive too, because the virus takes a little while to cause symptoms and can be negative initially, and you have to get the viral load up to a minimal level that you can detect it. So that's why those are quarantined. And and the issue is back with the sequences, that this particular lineage is becoming more dominant, and it's where they sequence the six plate.
All right. The particular strain.
The white, so it'll be a 5 out of 6. Right.
A new dominant strain. Is that the third mutation, can we say, or the second? Are we still on the second?
Well, it's got this whole slew of them. I'm not sure. I mean, the one in Chicago, it's got six mutations. So one of them is the. Right. And whether they're all significant or whether they're just help identify the lineage isn't clear. Each of these isn't clear. But what's striking is when the same mutations start showing up again and again. And so the two in this, the two out of the three that were in Shenzhen, that's in all of them. It'll be in 5 out of the 6 in the U.S. when they get the second one in Chicago sequence. So they'll have six sequences and five will have these two mutations that were in Shenzhen.
All right. Well, Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, the next one on my list to being a cluster is the one in L.A., because the one in L.A. is almost identical to the one in Chicago. It's having this whole constellation of mutations, and I would be concerned about that one.
All right. Let's find out what the morning brings. Always looking to that. Thank you, Henry. Talk to you tomorrow night.
5,000 more cases. Okay, yeah. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. Good night. Okay. Exclusively here, certainly scientific information that a lot of you may not be interested in, but he is the man. Okay. Oh, Friday already. All right. Talk to you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Plan ahead. Do plan ahead. You still have a little time here. We don't know where this is going to go. Henry seems to. We'll find out. Talk to you tomorrow night as well.